In our study of making a transition from the one part of the end of one year to the beginning of a new one. And we've spent a little time to remind ourselves by way of Deuteronomy that Moses prepared in a year. He prepared the people of Israel to cross the Jordan. And he gave them wonderful, wonderful help. And he gave them a wonderful, wonderful sense of the reality of their attitude, what will happen, what could not happen, and how they would fare as they proceeded. So here, adding to that, if I may, here in Philippians chapter 2, the Spirit of God encourages the believing heart. May I go directly to verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in as in my absence, present in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For reason, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now the Philippian believers are encouraged to work out, not somebody else's, God's wonderful saving grace in their heart, to outwork his wonderful will for their life. And verse 13, they are to be stimulated, stirred to proceed eagerly, decisively to work it out, because it is God which worketh in you inside the heart. What's he going to do? He's going to will his good will and do his good pleasure. So God, you're going to be God. I am. And I want you to be excited about my wonderful will and work in your life. What I'm going to do. Now, having said that, let's go back and get a live illustration, as it were. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And you would recall that Moses is able to see the land all the way from Dan. God does it for him so that he can look from that other side of the Dead Sea and see that whole land all the way to the tribe of Dan, way up. Big, big picture, big view. God had to do that. And so he sees it. But you know, it's one thing for the eye to see it, and faith takes it in. Faith absorbs, wow. But, the foot of faith needs to take place. It's one thing to see something, and it's another thing to have it. Two different things. And thus, here is Israel, and Israel is to see, as Moses, only he isn't going to cross over. The more you see, the more you walk, the more you walk, the more you see. The more you see, the more you work, the more you understand, the more you work out your salvation. And the more you work out your salvation, the more you work out your salvation. Is it worth working out? Sure it is. Is it worth growing up? Second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. Is it worth growing up with all the ins and outs to it? Is it worth doing it? So here is the land of rest, which is Canaan, a place. And in that place, they were to enter that land. And they were entered a land and a life. a land of rest and a life of rest. The land of rest is a place. The life of rest is a person. God would grant them in His place, in His will, all of the wonderment of what He would do. As we shared, He will, Sunday school, He will satisfy. He will utterly satisfy. If you're satisfied with Him and allow Him to be your God in all of its fullness, then He will be satisfied in satisfying you. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, so Israel wants to have the foot of faith, as we're going to see, the foot of faith. And in the process, though, they aren't going to do very well. Now, A, what do we know? Israel was to possess a very large piece of property, much more than Palestine. And may I pick it up, please, in chapter 11, in verse 22. For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to cleave unto Him, be glued unto Him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before thee, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. And, verse 24, every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, Mediterranean to the Euphrates, shall your coast be. So God, you're going to do a wonderful thing for Israel, and they have a wonderful, wonderful piece of property that you gave them. And you told them that before they crossed the Jordan, they're mumbling and murmuring, but they need to know that you have a wonderful plan if they would pursue it and go after it. Now, having said that, this is a wonderful place. And Egypt is not the place. Remember, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They left Egypt. They can never have Egypt. Never. As a people, they never can have Egypt. They never can have the world. In the world, they never will enjoy the world as the nations do, which are comfortable. Israel is very, very special. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, may I pick up the thought. And remember in chapter 2 that Israel is going through the wilderness in the process as they journeyed. In chapter 2, reminding you and myself, verse 4. I'll read verse 3 for a little better context. You have compassed, surrounded the mountain, be at the foot of this mountain, long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which shall be in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you, and take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, when you go through. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. So, A, what do we know? Well, you can't have a piece of property. I already have it for you. But you can't have any other piece of property. Verse 6. You shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For the reason, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. So here they are, and they can't have just any old place. They can't just say, well, how's this and how's this? You can't have that. God you have a wonderful plan and purpose for the life. It isn't for some other life. It's for your life. I want this. I want all of it. What are you wanting? You can't have, you can't live another life. You can't live somebody else's life. It isn't yours. It says, work out, Philippians 2:12, work out your what? Your own. You don't have anyone else's to work out. You want God's will for your life. Israel, God has a wonderful plan for the nation. It's for the nation. They can't have anything else. God has a special thing for them. So all of the lust and envy and jealousy and covetousness that you want, you can have it. But that isn't for the believing heart. It isn't for Israel. Now, picking up, please, in the light of that, in verse 9, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. Why? For I will not give thee of their land for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. You can't have that. No, you can't. In verse 19. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for possession. So you can't. You can't just have anything, Israel. You have to have what God has in mind. So that's the first thing I want to get clear. And therefore, and you have to walk. You're going to walk. Well, you're walking, moving in God's will, for God's will. In God's will, for God's will. Moving. You can't have something outside of it. It has to be in that channel where your foot goes, in the will of God, on to the will of God. Now, having said that, and so here's Israel is in the world system. We are in the world system, to add to that. And the world system, you remember, belongs to the devil. He took charge of it. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the right to be lord of every dinosaur and rhinoceros and everything else. They lost the right to be lord of the earth. That's why he's coming as the lord of the world, the lord. They lost it. He's going to recover it. He himself, the Son of Man. Now, in the process, the devil got it because of sin. We lost the relationship to God, and therefore it ends up he is in charge, as it were. He's the prince of the power of the air, the ruler. He is the god of this world system, and it belongs to him. So you don't have to say anything about it. And remember, he offers the Lord in the temptation, in the wilderness, that I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And they were his. And the Lord said, no, I don't want them. Not that way. They belong to you. And thus, and in Ephesians 2:2, you know, and we were all once children of this world, the prince of the power of the air. We walked according to the course of this world. And so we're all caught up in it, caught up in the world system. Now God, and to add to that, Galatians 1, God delivered us. When you get saved, God delivers us from this present evil world system. He rescues us. So now we're in the world. That's right. We're in the world. We're in it, but not of it. So Israel, you have to understand, you can't have anything else. You want, I've given you my grace to save you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to save the whole nation. Wow. So you can't have any other. No. So here we are, God, on planet Earth. And here we are, and we get saved. And we are in the world. But then we're of the world. John chapter 17. and will just rehearse it again for us. John chapter 17. And picking up, please, if I can, in verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. This is really the Lord's Prayer that he prayed before his crucifixion. Chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 9. I pray, the Lord said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Not for the world, sister, no. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, they belong to thee. All thine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. The believing heart belongs to God the Father, belongs to God the Son, and God is to be glorified in them. Verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. He doesn't, never says he's of the world. And in the light of that, in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, no, but thou should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So now, when a person gets saved, and they're trying to walk, they get saved, and they're trying to walk as they do, and we have all the things that we do in our life, and that we did. When you get saved, and we'll pick it up later perhaps, you understand that God gave you a brand new relationship to who he is, and that you have a brand new vocation. You have a vocation. I'm a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. But when you get saved, you have a brand new vocation. And that is, you have an obligation to outwork and enjoy the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You go to work and you do all kinds of things in life. That is not your vocation. You do all of those things, and you do it to pay the rent and get gas and get a hamburger at McDonald's. You do all of those things. But that is not, no more. You're in the world, but you're not of it. So when you're going and trying to pursue, I hope this for my job, my work, my health, my marriage, wherever you're trying to get something, in like people do. Everyone's out to do something, age and depending on what they're after, and the world is advertising and getting us to go after it, and we do it. When you get saved, you're in the world but not of it. So you can't walk anymore like the Gentiles walk. You can't walk like because you used to do it. But all of a sudden, your whole world has changed, and you're in it but you're not of it, but it's still there, and you've got to hang in there and look to God to get through, because you don't belong anymore. So everything you're trying to get this way out in the world around you, God isn't going to the degree and measure, it's the will of God, is fine, but you're looking to satisfy the Savior, God, who has a wonderful plan and purpose for your existence on planet Earth. And that's what you want worked out. And all of a sudden, everything else becomes secondary. Secondary. And when people keep trying to pursue it, called worldliness, as believers, you never enjoy the will of God because you're so busy trying to live in the world. Make your world go, business go, everything. Understandably. Now, having said that little bit, Israel, remember, Israel was to be in and in the world, but not of it. Israel was to have a very special witness to the nations and they would, all the nations of the world would look and pay attention to what, to God, the God of Israel, and they, their government. God was the government, God was the worship, and you look at Israel, and there they are. Now, and Israel can go no other place. The territory was there. Israel is never told to send people to Africa, Venezuela, as missionaries. They never go. They're never told. Never told to do that. They have one assignment, to bear record by their way of life and worship in Israel. And they were to honor God. And God said, all the nations of the world will pay attention. Is that true? Absolutely true. Today, wonderfully true in a negative way. All the world is very conscious of Jews. Anti-Semitism, where is the problem of the world? It's in Palestine. It's in Jerusalem. That's where it is. They all know that. So they didn't have to go anywhere. They just were to be a light. And the whole world would see them in the middle of planet Earth. Now, Deuteronomy again, chapter 36. Deuteronomy in chapter 36. No. Are you going to try that? I'll wait for you to find it. Chapter 28. Deuteronomy, chapter 28. In the great list of blessings and cursings, this is on the side of the cursings. And would you please note, though, when Israel is scattered because of the Assyrian, Babylonian, and Roman captivities, etc. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 36. And the Lord, when they're scattered, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods of wood and stone. Scattered all over, captivities. Verse 37. What are the nations going to do with you? Anti-Semitism, yep. But what else? And thou shalt become an astonishment, thou shalt become an astonishment, an object of amazement, waste, ruin to them. The world's nations are going to look at you and see you as an object of amazement, astonishment. And a proverb, they're going to see you as a proverb. And in the process, that means a need, a ridicule. They're going to go, you're going to be held up for ridicule, I should say. You're going to be held up for ridicule, anti-Semitism. No question, ridicule. Jews. And a byword, you're going to be, that means a sharp cutting word. And so when they speak, they're going to speak caustically of him. And in the process, against the Jew. Now, having said that, so the nations, God's honoring, Israel is a special nation, no matter in, among, out and spread out, or sitting in Jerusalem. They're a nation you're going to pay attention to, no matter how you cut the cookie, you're going to pay attention to Israel. And Israel can never be absorbed into the world, never. Thus in chapter 29, may I go to verse 22. Remember, Israel's assignment is not to be among the nations of the world. They're to be a light, same as we are. The church is to be a light. We are a people called out for his name, and we are to be a people spread out. In the world, for what? We aren't trying to conquer the world. We aren't trying to do anything. You're trying to save people out of the world. You aren't making the world a better place. It's a better place because of Christianity. There's no question. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. So that the generation to come, Deuteronomy 29, 22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land, shall say, when you see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone, like in the end of the Dead Sea, brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this thus unto the land? That meaneth the heat. What meaneth the heat of his great anger? What kind of a God is Israel's God that lets all of this happen to Israel? That's going to be the question they're going to say. But they're going to be talking about Israel. Always about Israel. Negatively, positively, it's Israel. Now, and in the light of that, verse 25. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom they had not given, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. God, you're going to let all of that happen. That's right. And so here's the world system, and the world system is looking, and Israel was to be a testimony to them, and Israel is going through all, did go through, is going through all kinds of hard times. But all the nations are looking. Israel, you're trying, remember the key, we read it a moment ago. When you want to be, you want a king, 1 Samuel 8, 4. You want a king, you want to be like the nations. Remember? Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like the nations. Then, all of this is going to come because you aren't like the nations. If you're a real believer and you want to be like the world and you're a real believer, you'll never be content. If you're content, then you're not a real believer. You can't be. God won't let you be. He won't let it happen. Galatians 5, etc. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. God, you aren't going to let that happen. So I have to understand, I'm in the world. I don't want to love the world. I don't want to be friends with the world. To be friends with the world is an enemy of God. I don't want to do that, God, wrongly. I want to be in the world and exercise all of it in your good order, for your good pleasure. And I want to enjoy everything to the extent I should. But I don't want to go after anything and everything that is of the world system when you have something in mind for me. And God, that's what I want. I want your goodwill. That's what I want. Now, having said that, you would remember that Moses, the man of God, went and took his, he had 40 years in Egypt. That's where he was born. He had 40 years in the land of Midian, that's on the other side over there. Here's the Dead Sea. And you're the Dead Sea. And on the other side over there is Edom, opposite, up in the top part of the Dead Sea. And if you go south, there's Midian. Moses spent 40 years in Midian, down on the bottom over there. He spent 40 years. And God, in his wonderful grace, had him get ready to go to lead Israel, and thus, in getting him ready, remember in Exodus chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, God said, Moses, and God said, here I am, in the burning bush, and the point, what did you do? You had your shoes on, but then you had to what? Take your shoes off. Because it was holy ground. Holy ground, God. Holy ground. And in that place, what'd you do? Well, you went and put your shoes back on afterwards and got out of there. And then you went to Israel and you got them out. You exited them out of Israel. You then went to into the wilderness, Mount Sinai in the wilderness. And then you went, and you know what? You had your shoes on. You had your shoes on, didn't you? Did you have your shoes on, Moses? I did. I did. Did everyone else have their shoes on? They did. Now, hang on to that. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy, and in chapter 29, you're right here. Chapter 29, picking up, remember the shoes. Now, Deuteronomy 8:4, their feet, they never had a foot problem for 40 years. Never had a foot problem. Not only did they never have a foot problem, but they never had a shoe problem. And chapter 29, verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old. They never got old. Never got old. You bought the T-shirt in Kmart, and 40 years later, you still wear it. Wow. Now, verse 5. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. So here we are, and we're going to go. We cross the Red Sea with shoes, got them on, and we cross the Red Sea and with shoes, and we're going to go for 40 years into the wilderness. Hot ground and desert and all that, rough terrain, wilderness and all that stuff. And in the process, they enter the land, and with their shoes are in good shape. The shoes stay in good shape for 40 years. They never have a problem. Your foot doesn't have a problem. Your shoe doesn't have a problem for 40 years. Never have a problem. Never. Now, what are you going to tell them to do? I want you to walk and cross Jordan and take the land. How are you going to take the land? You're going to walk and move. And I want you to know, you're going to learn it. You should have learned it anyway, because you've been in the wilderness for 40 years and your shoe never wore out. So you ought to be impressed about your clothes didn't wear out. As we said, Jewish commentators say, they didn't even need to wash their clothes. Never washed their clothes. Never had to do it. That's something else. Wow. So now, God, here we are. And they're going to go around and around and around for 38 years. They're going to go around and around and around in the wilderness, in Mount Sinai Peninsula and all of that. And they're going to go around and around. And they're murmuring and grumbling, going around and around and around. Now, did they enjoy the miraculous, merciful wonderment of the very environment in which they lived? No, they didn't. Are they going to enjoy the merciful, wonderful environment in the millennium? No. No. Because the minute they get opportunity, you know, Revelation 20, they're going to rebel as what? As the sand of the sea. That's a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people because no one dies. Hardly. Wow. See, it's a heart problem. A heart. All right. Now, having said that, and they walking with their shoes, and they should have... God, they walked and walked and walked and walked, and they never had to worry about anything. So now, and they watched the men die, the over 20, and they 38 years, they watched one die after another, and around they went. They had no thanksgiving, to our knowledge. They had no enjoyment of any of what they were doing, except, and they counted as they just went around and around. And they did it. They did it, and they did it, and they did it. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. Now, here's the world, here's Israel, and they're not enjoying anything. What were they doing? They were not working out their own salvation. They were not doing that. They were not enjoying what God was doing for them as a nation. So now, chapter 14, in the book of Numbers, verse 33, remember, for the 40 years, and your children shall wander, shepherding, feeding animals in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, your apostasy, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, and they all die. They all die. But, God, have you got something for us to look at? Because this, say, so far, you're doing everything, and they're doing nothing to reciprocate thanksgiving or enjoyment of it. So now, chapter 14, verse 19. Chapter 14, verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, God, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. So for 40, all these years, 40 years, all these this time, you've forgiven them. Here's a believer that came to know the Lord as a Savior, and they haven't got it straight yet. They're over here, they're over there. Instead of thankfully working out and looking for a wonderful Savior to give them a wonderful life, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of doing that, they're trying to get everywhere, all over the place. But if they're saved, if they're really saved, God is waiting, and God has forgiven them. Here they are out there. God has saved them. All they have to do is get with it, but they don't. And they spend their whole time, years and years of their life, doing what they do without God. Now, and thus, quickly if I may, verse 22, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, remember the people are going to die in the wilderness for unbelief, apostasy, because all these men, verse 22, which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me, put me to the test, now these 10 times, they provoked God, and have not hearkened to my voice, have not paying attention to God's word and what he wants and his will. Verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. None of them are going to see it. See? So now, but, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Listen, God said, you see all these guys? None of them are going to make it. They're all going to die, and they're never going to get out of the wilderness. They're going to work, homeschool, play. Did you ever get to the enjoyment of being saved? No, work, homeschool, play, marriage, coming, going. Did you ever enjoy being just saved and have a wonderful God residing in front of you and in you? I know. Now, if I can, here's Caleb, verse 24, chapter 24. And in the light of it, chapter 24. And they have to overcome the environment, remember, that they're in. And so servant, Caleb is a servant. He had another spirit. Another means a coming different, coming from behind, different. A firm, fixed, purposeful, determined. He wasn't like them. His spirit in his being was different than theirs. They all did what they did. You wouldn't enjoy being with Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they were a different kind. They didn't enjoy what you, let's say, what can we get more of and have more of, and what do we want to have a talk about negatively about God, Bible, why we're here, why is God doing this, etc., and then try to have a party and be happy. They won't be the ones to be with. They're different. They have a different spirit. That's right, a different spirit in them. Wow. And at firm, fixed, purposeful, unwavering spirit. And they are not like the others, as we said. And in verse 24, with him, W-I-T-H, with him, with one another, means operating their mind, operating in their mind, their thought process. They purposed, they operated in their mind, they were conscious in their mind of something else. They had another spirit with him. Caleb, Joshua, had another mindset. They enjoyed and marveled at the wonderful presence and purpose of person of God. All they had to do was wake up in the morning and everything was wonderful. They never got sick. Their shoes, their clothes, their health, and the fire by night and the cloud by day and the God's manna every day and everything they ever needed. They were quite satisfied with God, different than the people who murmured and mumbled. That's right. And hath followed me. They have followed me. Instead of murmuring and mumbling, they have followed me fully to follow, hath followed fully. Hath fully, as intensive. The verb is intensive. Intensive. They have rolled up their sleeves and they're following me. They aren't half-hearted. They aren't stingy with where they're at. They're going for God. They're going for gold, like Olympian, going for it. Now, God, you mean to tell me, there they are, moving, that's their thinking, they and hath followed me fully, constant, complete obedience, and after me, they didn't, and hath followed me fully, and I will bring them into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So God, here they are following, and they don't turn aside to the left, to the right. They're complying with what God wants, looking for what God wants. You mean to tell me these two guys, here's over 2.5 million people, and these two guys stand, now there's others, there's Moses and Joshua, but these two stand out in particular of the ones that crossed. They're the only two, apart from Joshua and Moses, of all the men that crossed, all of them died. The only four of them. And they're two of them. And thus picking up, please, chapter 32 of Numbers. Chapter 32. And they were just, they were happy with God, satisfied with God. God was a wonderful person. Chapter 32, picking up, please, in verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, except Caleb, etc. Because they have not wholly followed me. They did not commit themselves to where I was going. And Joshua, Caleb, you walked around and around with the rest of them. That's right. But you were not of them. We walk around every day with the world system and 7 billion people out here. But the believer is not of them. You were, but I'm not. All the people you work with, if you're saved, but you're not of them. All the people in your classroom, but you're not of them. All the people that live in your street, all your relatives, but you're not of them. You're not of them. And thus, verse 12, Caleb, because they, end of verse 11, because they have not followed me wholly, fully, they never did that. And verse 12, except, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenzanite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. They have wholly done so, wonderfully done so. That's what I wanted. Now, what made the difference? Caleb and Joshua, for 40 years, why didn't you pick up the flavor of the multitude that you lived among? You never did you? You kept a heart for God, no matter whether there were many believers or no believers, whether it was easy or whether it was hard. Your heart was always for God. Wife, husband, coming, going, children, work, home, school, play, always for God. God said, that's what I want. You see, they didn't do it well. They're going to go and cross the Jordan. And I'm going to talk about their shoes and their feet. Because these two guys set the pace. And that's why God got rid of everyone that didn't believe, all the 20-year-olds and up. Now, in over if you would, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. May I go, please, directly to verse 6. Consider Solomon. 11:6, 1 Kings. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not, N-O-T, fully after the Lord, as did David his father. What was so wonderful about David? David had a heart for God. That's what he had. He had a heart for God. He always stumbled around like all of us do, but he had a heart for God, a wonderfully, wonderfully heart for God. Now, God, that's what you wanted. That's right. Now, I've got to stop, but I didn't get you the point yet. But we're getting there. We're getting there. And fortunately, it's daylight saving time. Is it? No. What time is it? No. I'm trying to get the clock to... In closing, over if you would, 2 Timothy... Second Timothy. And picking up, please. Now, what did you want Timothy to do? God. Now, Paul's going to give him advice, like Moses gives advice. The Lord gives, and Paul gave to Timothy. And in verse 7, for God, stir up the gift, stir up your heart. Think about it. Don't be passive. Be active in your heart. Thank God for being saved. When you say thank you, that's an active word. Thank you. It's coming out. It's an effort on my part. Thank you. Don't be passive, nothing. Thank you. Thank you. Active. And you got to be active. And stirring up your heart. Thank God when everything's terrible and you see the news or something. Thank God that he has a plan and purpose and going to put it together. That's what you want to do and say, oh no, not another this and another that. And there's going to be more than lots of them. So they're there. But thank God it isn't going to be. Thank God there's a God. Thank you, God. Thus, Timothy, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, cowardness, but of power, ability, there's the word power, ability, and of love and a sound mind. God, what do you want us to have? I want you to have the wonderful hot relationship, and I want you to look to me. Caleb and Joshua did so. The rest didn't. Caleb and Joshua set the mood. And they were in the right track, had the right mentality to keep going in the thick and thin of it. So here we are, God. We want to have the right mentality. I want to have the right attitude. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you, our God, that you have a wonderful plan and purpose. I don't know how tomorrow is going to be, but you do. And like in James, God, I don't know. I don't know this afternoon, actually, but you do. So, God, I'm going to go forward, Lord willing. One step at a time, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to be careful, because it's easy, especially young people, and all young people especially, to get caught up in the system. Because it would then, and then we lose out our specialness. Do you know how it's specialness? Just to be special. And that's different. When you're special, you're different. You can't fit in. They don't want you. That doesn't mean you aren't nice and you don't do things. It just means that you understand that God, you make the difference. You are the difference, God. And thus I'm different. And things that you're, I don't care about them. It doesn't mean I don't do them or whatever. It is just not that important, so I don't hold them tight. I hope no one takes that away from me. Don't hold anything that tight. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and patience, and thank you very much. God, help us to learn inch by inch to understand. God, it's a wonderful thing to go forward in time, but to go forward and not enter in to your goodwill, to miss out on the wonderful exercise, the wonderful experience, the awesome enjoyment of just knowing you. God, help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.